All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
With your host, Andrew Donaldson, this is Heard Tell.
So, I want to talk about the VA for a second, because that's in the headlines with this leaked internal memo. I was doing talking heading today, and as it happened, one of the last segments, it's a panel program that'll air on Saturday, as I'm recording this on Thursday, March 6th. So this will come out. I'll link to it when it comes out. Armstrong Williams, I've been on it before. It's a panel discussion, so you got six people talking. And the way the formatting works, of course, we're working through things. We're on there for about an hour, and sometimes questions come up that you don't actually get to address to you, and the panel gets into a big blow up over. And that happened on this show, and it happened over the VA. And oddly enough, three people commented on it, and there's a back and forth. The question didn't get to me. I didn't get a comment on it. And the funny thing about this one was, as soon as this episode stopped and we stopped recording, I turned the lights off, took my jacket off, took my tie off, threw a sweatshirt on, and went directly to the VA for an appointment. I had to see my GI doctor today. So they're having this debate about Veterans Affairs healthcare. I'm actually going to Veterans Affairs. I didn't even get the question, because I was going to be like, yeah, as soon as I'm done here, I'm taking this tie off and going to the VA. But the individual that initially went to answer the question, and the question was, you know, how's cutting the VA going to play politically? I'm paraphrasing. Again, I'll link to it when it actually comes out. I'll put it on the Substack, hertel.substack.com. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. Make sure you share it too. Appreciate it. And the answer the individual went with was, well, there can't be any sacred cows when it comes to dealing with budget cuts. I agree in principle. I don't think there should be sacred cows. However, I want to give a little perspective, because the DOGE stuff is so much more PR than substance. It's all promo, no match. They're already having to do a lot of walking back on what they're claiming. I'm not a fan of Elon Musk, as anybody that covers this program knows. I understand we have a deficit and budget problem in our country. I think that'll only get fixed through Congress and consistent spending discipline, not by doing rash cuts to win on social media. The largest expenditure of the federal government is now the servicing of the debt. We spend almost $900 billion a year on that alone, which is more than we spend on defense or anything else. The major drivers of our debt issues are Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, entitlements. All things, of course, that are very much sacred cows, because that money is not just a program, that's promised to people. Now, people will go overboard and say, well, it was a Ponzi scheme. No, it wasn't a Ponzi scheme per se. It's just it was designed for a world that no longer exists. We'll get into that some other time, but you have to have the demographics for that. Remember, when Social Security started, our country was vastly smaller and growing and had very different demographics. But I want to talk about that sacred cow piece when it comes to the VA real quick. And the same principles will apply to Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, Social Security. It's going to be the same debate. It is inevitable to the people in charge, especially in the Trumpian media sphere, which was born out of 20, 30 years of talk radio that morphed into the online right, which has morphed into the Trump media online empire that is the greatest media asset to a president in the modern era, the support system that Donald Trump gets from the MAGA media. I'm not going to call it right wing anymore, because that's not really, you know, that doesn't apply anymore. It's just Trump-centric, the MAGA stuff, that sort of thing. There's a lot of different people that got under that umbrella because they like winning and they like the power of it and so forth. Those folks are always going to go back to the same arguments we always heard about welfare. We heard about Medicare, Medicaid. There's all sorts of ways you could save money with things like the VA, like with Social Security, like with Medicare, Medicaid. There's policy debates to have it. People that are having the policy debates on saving money in the VA system should be heard out. There's all sorts of ways that the VA is wasteful in their money, but it's not on the beneficiary level. It is mostly on the administrative level, the bureaucracy level, having multiple redundant high-level positions that do absolutely nothing for actual patient care and or claim service. This is across the government, same problem, Department of Education, local education. We spend all this money on stuff that has nothing to do with in-classroom teachers, which should be the sole focus of government education, is what are we doing for in-classroom teachers? Everything else is where you start cutting, not those folks. But you're going to end up, you know, in the 80s, it was the welfare queens. When Clinton went in and the Republican Congress he was working with and they did welfare reform, they started bringing it out again, you know, more welfare queen stuff or the people that are cheating the system. Yes, there's people that defraud Medicare, Medicaid. Yes, there's people that defraud the VA system. That happens. There's people that shouldn't be getting VA benefits that work the system and get it. That happens. That's not why our country has a debt problem, though. Now, you can recoup some money by cutting down on that, but you're not going to get the trillions and trillions of dollars you need to fix the deficit issues just from that. What you do get is really good talking points and online points. Folks of bad faith and people in political power can't help themselves. There's no way these arguments are not going to go to that, because that's the one that resonates and argues is somebody's cheating and we're going to get the cheaters, because they're getting something for free and they should have to work on it like everybody else. And that story sells. So anytime you deal with an entitlement reform, whether it's the VA, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, that's the real sacred cow. It's not the beneficiaries themselves. It's the political idea that somewhere someone's getting something they don't earn, and I have earned everything I'm getting, and I'm not getting what I deserve, so therefore, we're going to project it on they, them, and those, and that's the political power. That's the sacred cow. There's always going to be those people. And then you can start getting into human nature. You can get into demographics, those darn poor people. Then you can get into prejudices, those darn, insert any racial or gender or ethnic profile you want to into that sentence, and it works the same. All those people are clearly stealing things, because that's all those people do. And now the prejudice is in there and the bad parts of human nature is in there. So I will listen to any policy discussion that's a good faith policy discussion. Yeah, there's fraud, waste, and abuse all over the government. Let's start with fraud. Fraud is a very specific legal definition in the 18 code of U.S. law. If a politician in the executive or legislative branch says they have found fraud and they don't refer it for a criminal referral, then they're just selling you a buzzword, because fraud is a crime. So if they're saying there's fraud, but they don't back it up and they don't charge anybody and they don't refer it to the DOJ or the other appropriate authority, state level authority, whatever, then it's not really fraud. It's something they don't like and they want to get rid of, and they're selling you a story, and you should judge them accordingly. Let's talk about waste. Government is extraordinarily wasteful. It's the nature of the beast. Bureaucracies. You know, you can, you know this. I shouldn't need to explain to you how waste in a bureaucracy works. Sure, you can cut down on all kinds of waste. Abuse. Yeah, sure. There's lots of that too. But the idea that we're going to fix all these problems by attacking not the bureaucratic systems, but the beneficiaries of them solely, that's where this sacred cow comment kind of bugged me. Now, they didn't come back to me on this panel show because I would have told them, I'm like, well, I'm actually going to go to the VA where I know people that work there, and they're all scared out of their minds right now whether they're going to have a job or not. I hope my primary care provider keeps his job. You know what he does? He's actually a retired guy. He's a grunt. He took his retirement and his GI Bill, went to PA school specifically to come back and work as a PA and a doctor and a primary care guy at the VA. And he's my primary care guy, and he's the best primary care guy I've ever had in my life. I've had him for multiple years now. Love that guy. People like that are rare. I don't want the VA to run people like that off. I saw my GI doctor today. Same thing. He is at the tail end of his career. He's already made his money. He's working at the VA because he knows that sometimes we don't get the best doctors and it's not the best system. I've had multiple GI doctors. I've been operated on by the guy at the time who was the greatest GI surgeon of the last 30, 40 years. He's an excellent GI doctor, and I know what I'm talking about. He's fantastic. Had a great meeting with him today. I don't want that guy to not be at the VA. We want more people like that in the VA. Is there a bunch of administrative level and upper level people that could be probably changed jobs, cut, whatever, and the people sitting in the room talking to their medical providers would never notice? Yep. And I'm all for hearing you out on how you're going to do that. But that's not how this is going to go. Because the people in the rooms, the doctors and the patients and the beneficiaries, they don't have the political power. The people above them that should be getting cut don't. That's the reality. So if we're going to talk about sacred cows, let's talk about the real sacred cows. Othering people when we go into these debates about how some poor person in an inner city or up a holler in Kentucky or whatever the case may be that's on the government dole and getting a government check, they're the real bad guys, not the abusive, bloated, horrible government system that they're taking advantage of. Yes, I'm all for cracking down on fraud, but are they really the main problem, or is it the system that has, frankly, been built around that sort of thing? Now, whether you're for Trump or against Trump or Democrat or Republican, that's probably going to hit you a little differently. But I just want to point out, when somebody waves the term sacred cow at me, that's a nice big fat red flag of you're not going to have a nice serious argument here. I don't really believe in sacred cows. I do believe that there are people involved in these decisions and you better keep them in mind, because human nature is going to quickly take a lot of these cuts in the wrong direction. The things I just told you about my VA providers, the DOGE people can't find that on an algorithm. One of the things they're finding out about firing all these probationary employees, and by the way, the reason they fired the probationary employees is because that was the legally easiest to do, and they'll have the least case to fight them in court, and they can just get the number on a spreadsheet, which is bad leadership in and of itself. A lot of those people on probation aren't new. They were getting promoted to a new job, or they had been moved to a different job, or they were trying to get a different pay raise, or they're changing GS positions, or whatever the case may be. They lost a lot of really good people doing that. They just didn't do it because those people shouldn't be working. They just did it because it was the easiest way to cut a bunch of jobs and get a number for the graph. That's not efficient. This DOGE stuff is going to get ugly. One question that was asked on this panel show, again, it'll come out Saturday, Armstrong Williams, you can watch it. I'll make sure to link to it. They wanted to talk about the USPS, United States Postal Service. You realize why the Postal Service never gets reformed and probably will never be reformed, right? It's one of the largest job programs in America. A vast majority of people that work at the United States Post Office, and I said this in my comments, if you go to shut down all those jobs, you know what all the sob stories online are going to be and in your media? Because a lot of people at the Post Office are veterans, are minorities. You know what kind of stories that makes, that you're taking their jobs away? VA Affairs, just to prepare you what happened if they do these VA cuts, something like a quarter of the people working in the VA are veterans themselves. Those stories are not going to play well on TV. But again, I'm not against sacred cows. I don't think we should have any at all. I just don't think we should have rhetorical ones that make us talk around what the real issue is and how it's going to play out. I'm old enough to remember when we did welfare reform. I'm old enough to remember what everybody said about George W. Bush when he tried to take a swing at entitlement reform and how bad that went for him. Slashing and burning the government system down is not going to be efficient. Going in and getting the real problems requires a very high level of understanding how it works, why it works, and who the real problems are. I've seen no evidence that this administration, and especially the DOGE people, have the knowledge, know-how, and or, quite frankly, care to find out to do that meaningfully. And by the way, they can't do it meaningfully anyway unless it goes through Congress and you change the appropriation funding. Let me give you a preview of what's going to happen. There's a reason that fork in the road email, the famous one about quit, you know why that ran through September, right? Because 1 October is the new fiscal year, and they're going to have to back hire a lot of those people back, or new people, if they can get anybody to work for them. That's the truth. They want the numbers to look good this year, but they understand to make the government work next year, they're going to back hire all these people in 1 August. That's why they're all furloughed and RIF through September. And then they'll turn around and hire them back. A lot of the people that have been fired by DOGE are already getting requests to try to get them to come back because they shouldn't fire them in the first place. This is all a hot mess. But when you start doing it to entitlements, you start doing it to the VA, where a lot of those people don't have any other health care option. This brings up another sacred rhetorical cow that I think we need to get rid of. And I think our country is going to learn the hard way over the next couple of months why this is. One of the things with Trump I hear a lot from Trump supporters is, well, you have to run government like a business and Trump will run it like a business. I don't disagree with that, but let me lay out a few things real quick. A government ran by a business is no longer a democratic representative republic. That's an oligarchy, and that's what Donald Trump would like. He wants people to pay for power and influence to get decisions, and he picks them. There's a reason all the tech titans had all the good seats at the inauguration. They paid to be there. They want the influence. They plan to make a lot of money from this administration. That's not a pick on Donald Trump, because every administration, people are sucking up to them, try to get money. This one's just bare knuckled and naked right out in front of everybody, and it's easy to see. Elon Musk is planning on making a lot of money from his efforts. If you think otherwise, I'm sorry, you're the mark. You are the aim of the con game being run. He's data mining the entire federal government right now, so that he can then use that information for his own business purposes. And more to the point, he will now be able to tailor make things like AI and things like that to sell back to the government to try to get more government contracts. Here, you don't have to take my word for it. Just make yourself a note, do a bookmark. When DOGE ends and the Trump administration ends, does Elon Musk have more money coming in on government contracts than before? That's the question. That'll be easy to prove. Just mark it down. Wait, see if that happens. Notice DOGE isn't looking into any of Elon's multi-billion dollar contracts. In fact, they've already got a Starlink contract worked up. More money for him. You think that's all accidental? You think all the tech lords, you know, Bezos, the Facebook guy, you think all those guys sitting on the platform was accidental? No. You think they're changing their tune on DEI and other things because of cultural or political reasons? No. They're sucking up this administration. You think the David Sachses of the world are being such good little toadies for any other reason is they want that crypto fund so they can get a return on their investment? Yeah, that's what it is. It's not anything other than that. So when we say run government like a business, you don't want that. That's an oligarchy. The other part of running government as a business is what this memo for the VA, and by the way, this will be the same thing they try to sell us on Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. If you're running it as a business, what you do is you hit your number with the VA. Let's take the VA, for example, and say, we are only going to spend this much money on the VA, and we're going to provide only the services we can provide for this amount of money. That's running it like a business. Is that how you want the VA ran? Now, somebody will always take the straw man argument to the extreme. J.D. Vance is the master of this, and go, well, we can't spend infinite money on everybody to take care of everybody. That's not what I'm saying. I understand that. That's why we have a compensation system that's very, very thorough and frankly too hard, where it takes people years and years and years to get into the system and get compensated. That's how that counterbalances. No, we're not giving unlimited. You go through a system to get there. Took me 6 years to get it completely right. Not because they didn't, nobody ever told me that I wasn't entitled or I didn't have the medical issues I had. I was having to fight them to make sure it was accurate in the system, because I kept running into people that's just like, well, what's it matter as long as the rating's such a number? I'm like, no, I want it to be accurate to what actually happened to me during my service. That stuff happens. If you're going to run government like a business, this is the problem you get into. Well, we can only offer X amount of benefits for X amount of people because the system should only be X amount of big. That's not how that should work. It should be, we have this many veterans that need care. How do we design the system to fit that amount of veterans? You see the difference? Government can't be run like a business, because you're going to get treated like a business. You don't want the government treating you like a major business does. And when they do, you're going to see a lot of howling and gnashing of teeth about, I can't believe the government treats us this way. Well, if they do, remember that you were the one that wanted them to run it like a business. McDonald's and Wendy's and Walmart and Target and whoever else don't care as long as you're paying their money. If you want a government that only cares about you because you pay your taxpayers and you only spend your tax money, that's fine. But remember, government's just a bunch of people. If that's the kind of government we have, think about the people that will be running it to make it that way, and think long and hard if that's who you want governing you. Or do you want some law and order people that follows the rules and follows the way things are supposed to be done and takes into account things like constituents and how people work? And that, yes, there are debts this government owes to people like veterans, like pensioners, like people that were promised their Social Security. Maybe have a little bit of that mixed in and not just this idiotic bottom line stuff for government that will never meet a bottom line, because that's not what it's designed to do. Can we rein in government spending? Absolutely. But you are not going to cut benefits to enough people to fix the government spending problem and the deficit problem. You might make yourself feel better online, and you might wreck a whole lot of people's lives, and you might screw up a lot of veterans' health cares, and you might screw up the Social Security system for the next generation, which it is going to fail at some point if we don't fix it. That's true. But maybe slow down the rhetoric and understand, maybe me being right online about my priors on these issues is not as important as the system helping the people that actually rely on the system to get the help they need. You want to kill a sacred cow? Let's kill that one. That our government shouldn't be helping people that doesn't have any other option than the government to help them. That's just bad business, government or personal.
All the music on Her Tell is provided under a creative content license from MonsterCat.com.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.